This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 87, Rear Curtain Sync and Front Curtain Sync. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 87th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about front curtain sync and rear curtain sync, and basically what that is how your camera and your flash talk to each other with regard to the exposure. And choosing one versus another will yield a different effect, and we're going to talk about that today. Before we do, I'd like to thank Kawartha Bob for his comment on podcast number 86, where we reviewed inkjet papers, namely Museo Silver Rag, Portfolio Rag, and Moab Intrada Bright. Kawartha Bob appreciated the review, and it was my pleasure to do it. As always, when people leave comments, it's greatly appreciated, and our preferred way to get comments is right in the blog, photography.ca/blog, but of course, you can leave comments on the forum as well, and you can send me emails, photography.ca@gmail.com. I'd also like to thank everyone that participated in the publicphotography.org walk, which is a celebration of photographers' rights. That happened on September 11th, and quite a few people participated, and we took good shots, and we showed that it's our right to take pictures in public spaces. And if you want to check out the photos, I'm going to put a link to the Flickr group and the Facebook group in the show notes, so you could check that out there. All right, then, let's just get right into today's topic, which is rear curtain sync versus front curtain sync. So basically, the differences in the two are as follows. In front curtain sync, which is the default mode of your camera, the flash fires immediately after the front curtain opens completely. So it fires basically at the beginning of the exposure. And like I said, this is how your camera comes, and this is the setting that you'll use, you know, 90% of the time plus. In rear curtain sync, the flash fires just before the rear curtain starts to close. So that's basically at the end of the exposure. All right, so what's the meaning and usefulness of these settings? So basically, rear curtain sync is used when there's a longer shutter speed and there's a linear movement in your subject. So like a car whizzing by or a jogger whizzing by. This is when you would use rear curtain sync. And this is because when you use a flash with a longer exposure, as we well know, you will get some type of blur. So if you capture a waterfall, and I'm not really talking about waterfalls because I'm talking more about movements that are from left to right or right to left. But anyway, if you capture a waterfall at 1/15th of a second, you will notice that the waterfall will start to blur. In a similar way, if someone is moving through your frame during a long exposure, you will also notice a blur. Now, when someone walks through your frame, our eye likes to see that blur behind the subject and not in front of the subject. When we see blur in front of a moving subject or in front of a moving car or in front of something that's moving, it just looks unnatural. And rear curtain sync allows you to get this movement trail behind the subject because the flash fires toward the end of the exposure. So in general, that's when you're going to want to use it, when you're capturing something that linearly moves from left to right or right to left on your camera. If the movement is rather random, let's say dancing at a party. So that's not going to capture as well just because the trail will be all over the place, but you'll really notice it if the movement is linear. And to illustrate this, I just took two shots. So I set the camera at f5 and 1/8 of a second. I put a flash on camera and I took two shots, one with rear curtain sync and one with front curtain sync. And basically, I took a stupid simple example. All I did was I captured my hand moving through the frame. So I just set it on a tripod, had a cable release in one hand, and just moved my hand through the frame. And the first shot I took is with the default front curtain sync. And because the flash fired toward the beginning of the exposure, and thus records the movement after the flash with the ambient light, we see the trail of movement in front of my hand. In rear curtain sync, the exact reverse happens where the flash fires at the end of the exposure, so it records the movement trail in front of my hand and then freezes my hand at the end of the exposure. That looks way more natural. And I put up these two examples, dirt simple, but they totally illustrate the point really well, I think, and you can check those out in the show notes. Now, just to confuse newbies even more, some cameras have a slow sync setting. And this simply means that the camera is choosing a slower shutter speed in a mode like programmed mode or aperture priority. So that's when you'll actually see a setting called slow shutter speed. If you're doing it on manual and you're choosing an eighth of a second, a 15th of a second, etc., you are doing the exact same thing. So again, all slow sync means is that you're using a programmed mode instead of working on manual. The effect is identical. And that's really basically it. That's the basic situation. I should say that most photographers I know rarely use rear curtain sync, but all pros that I know mix ambient light with flash from time to time. This is level 2 photography, it's advanced photography, and is one of the ways to get your photography to the next level is by mixing ambient light with flash, and this can be on camera or off camera, but when you try it, you will likely like the results and you can modify the results really, really well. And many, many photographers know this really well, this mixing of ambient and flash. And wedding photographers know this really well. You know, like when you're doing dancing shots at night in a hall at a wedding, basically, if you're not aware of what the ambient light setting is in the room, then all you're going to do is freeze your main subject and the rest of the room will look black. Obviously, if you're shooting at 1/200th of a second versus an 1/8th of a second, you're not going to get much ambient light in your shot, so your whole background will look dark. If you choose something like, I don't know, a 1/15th of a second, a 1/30th of a second, or slower, it depends on the light available in the room, you have to meter it, but if you choose that ambient setting, then you will record all that beautiful ambient light. Sometimes during dancing shots at a wedding, you know, there's like a light show, there's a mirror ball, there's all kinds of crazy lights. If your shutter is slow enough, you will capture those beautiful lights. So there's tons and tons and tons of creative uses for this. Friend of mine, Dominic Fizzotto, wedding photographer, he's been on the show a couple times. He sent me a shot, actually. I asked him for a shot where he mixes ambient with flash just to show the effect. And he does a really beautiful job in the photo that will be in the show notes as well. So he just took an image of some decorations at a hall, and he bounced his flash off the wall, and he used the ambient light in the room to record the rest of the exposure, and you could see the centerpiece has a little bit of extra pop, and that's from the flash. And had he not used that flash, then that centerpiece would have been dark, because you would have recorded the whole scene with the ambient lights that came from overhead, actually, and you wouldn't have seen the detail in the flowers in this shot. But because he mixed the two, and he did so very subtly, you can barely tell that he used flash. And that's another mark of someone that is skillful at balancing. When you can't tell that the flash is being used, that's far better than when you can clearly tell that the flash was used most of the time. Most of us are going for subtlety in our shots, where we don't want to bring attention to our technique. So it's just so easy. If the flash you're using is too powerful, dial it down. Measure the ambient exposure, enter that setting into your camera, and then use your flash to add pop to a particular element. Other creative uses are going to be like landscape photography, whereby, you know, let's say it's sundown, so the light is getting a bit darker and you have this beautiful, beautiful sky, but you're also recording a foreground element, a gorgeous rock, and you want to add just a bit of pop to the rock because it looks dark because the light's going down. So again, you want to balance your flash with the ambient light reading. If you take the flash off camera, it'll likely look even nicer. But if you keep it on as well, you'll still give your foreground subject that pop of light that it otherwise wouldn't have had. If you see your foreground subject is too bright, dial down the flash. And that way you'll be able to merge the two successfully, and you will take your photography to a new level if you practice this. If you haven't been practicing this, you really should, because you will notice a drastic improvement in your shots. Using flash and ambient light together, you have the ability to combine the foreground and the background and thereby balance the overall exposure better so that you have a fuller exposure for both elements of the foreground and background. And even if the light differences might be severe in the foreground and background, that is, a sky is going to be much brighter than an object in the foreground normally, especially if it's a sunset time. So again, you can balance this better by using the flash, and you will have a more successful image at the end of the day. I think that's all I got to say about that. In terms of assignments on the forum, we have two cool, new, interesting assignments. The first one is doors, and we already have some great submissions of people photographing doors in interesting ways. Feel free to put up your assignment if you haven't done so already. If you're lurking, we're a friendly bunch. I invite you to join. For our level 2 assignment, we have a multiple exposure. I've been so busy, I haven't entered mine yet, but I will before the end of the month, guaranteed. But already, even there, that's our level 2 assignment, multiple exposure, whereby we're choosing two images either in camera or two images out of camera and we layer them in Photoshop as full images. We already have some really good creative submissions for that assignment, and I encourage you to try one of yours. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. It hurts me to say this, but fall is on its way. And although I'm a bigger fan of summer than fall and what comes next winter, fall always presents a classic shooting opportunities. So I encourage you to just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks for listening.